Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, the Lord, Creator and Sustainer of all things. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafi anbiya illahi, Sayyid al-Mursaleen. May Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to the most noble of all prophets of Allah, the chief of the messengers, Nabiyyina Muhammadin, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and likewise all of his family and companions in entirety. Amma ba'd, as for what follows, we return to our study, our weekly study of the great book, Kitab al-Tawheed, the book of Islamic monotheism. And we have arrived in our study of this book previously at the chapter called Babu ma ja'a anna ba'dha hadhihi al-umma ya'budu al-awthan. The chapter on what is said that some of this ummah shall indeed worship idols. Awthan, idols. Wa qawlillahi ta'ala, and as well the statements of Allah the Most High, alam tara ila alladhina utu nasiban min al-kitabi yu'minuna bil-jibti wat-taghut. Have you not seen, O Muhammad, those who have been given a share of the book? They have been given revelation, people of the book of the past, that they believe in jibt and taghut. Some of the scholars, they said jibt is a sihr, magic and sorcery. Anyone recall another meaning mentioned? Idol worship, al-asnam, huh? Idol worship. They believe in that matter, and they believe in al-taghut. Al-taghut, kullu ma tagha. Everything that goes beyond the limit that is prescribed for it, in a general sense, specifically things that go beyond the limit into ubudiyyah, then they are worshipped, besides Allah being pleased with that worship. Then don't you see, O Muhammad, the people who've been given a share of the book, believing in jibt and taghut. Remember, the reference in this chapter is, along with knowledge of the book is pure, untainted revelation, delivered by a trustworthy and accurate prophet capable of delivering the message. With that in place, they still believed in jibt and taghut. So that's our first text of the chapter. The second one is wa qawlihi ta'ala, and the statement of Allah the Most High, قُلْ هَلْ أُنَبِئُكُمْ بِشَرٍ مِّن ذَلِكَ. Say, O Muhammad, shall I inform you of what is even worse than that? Worse than us believing in Allah and you blaming us for our belief in Allah and our belief in what has been revealed before and what has been revealed to us. As a recompense with Allah, مَثُوبَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مَنْ لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ وَغَضِبَ عَلَيْهِ. The one who Allah curses and Allah is angry with him. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرَ وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتِ. And he has made some of them to be monkeys, pigs, and worshippers of al-taghut. That's our second verse of the chapter. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, قَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. Those who had authority, who were in positions to make the decisions over their affair. The affair of who? The young men who did what? Sought refuge away from their people in the cave. And so the people, they're called Ashabul Kahfi. They're innahum fityatun amanu bi rabbihim wa zidnahum huda. Verily they were a group of young men. Allah Ta'ala testifies that they were believers in their Lord. Wa zidnahum huda. And we increased them in guidance. The connection to the chapter that is intended by the author here is people of the past who had guidance and had books of revelation, they decided to place a masjid over the people who had passed away, and placing a masjid over grave sites is not permissible, and it's from the dhara'i', from the ways and pathways that lead to polytheism. The fourth text of the chapter, wa an Abi Sa'id, and on the authority of Abu Sa'id radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, the authority of Abu Sa'id, may Allah be pleased with him, The Messenger of Allah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. You are certainly, surely going to follow the sanan, the pathway, the methods and the behavior of those who came before you. حَذْوَ الْقُذَّ بِالْقُذَّ. Like how a feather on an arrow is lined up behind another feather, meaning right directly behind them. حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ رَبٍ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. Even if they would enter into the hole of a lizard, you would also enter it certainly. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, O Messenger of Allah, الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى. The Jews and the Christians. قَالَ فَمَنْ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered by saying, who else? The author says here, أَخْرَجَاهُ. The two of them collected it. What does that mean, Ya Sayyid Ikram? Bukhari and Muslim collected this hadith in their two sahih, authentic compilations. Barakallahu feekum. Wali Muslimin. And Muslim has a report. Muslim is one of those two. Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim. He has a report, meaning Bukhari does not have this report. An Thawban, on the authority of Thawban. Who's Thawban? He's a freed slave. Who freed him? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's the freed slave of our messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, that the messenger of Allah, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, said, Inna Allah zawa li al-arda. Verily Allah had gathered and brought the earth together for me, meaning to view. فَرَأَيْتُ مَشَارِقَهَا وَمَغَارِبَهَا. And so I saw its easternmost regions and its westernmost regions. وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِيَ لِي مِنْهَا. And certainly the kingdom of my ummah is going to carry into or reach all of that which was gathered and shown to me. وَأُعْطِيتُ الْكَنْزَيْنِ الْأَحْمَرَ وَالْأَبْيَضَ. And I've been given the two treasures, the ahmar, the red, and the abyad, the white. Red is gold. And al-abyad was silver. And other kinds of precious metals which are like silver, that are whitish in color. وَإِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَبِّي لِأُمَّتِي أَنْ لَا يُهْلِكَهَا بِسَنَةٍ بِعَامَّةٍ. And I certainly asked my Lord and Creator on behalf of my ummah, that he not destroy them by global famine, by all-encompassing famine. وَأَنْ لَا يُسَلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ فَيَسْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَتَهُمْ. And I asked as well that he not allow an enemy from outside their ranks to gain authority over them and to crush them and annihilate them, to do away with them in entirety. وَإِنَّ رَبِّي قَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ. And verily my Lord and Creator has said to me, O Muhammad, إِذَا قَضَيْتُ قَضَاءً فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُرَدُّ. Once I decree a matter, then it is not ever kept back, stopped or repelled by anything. وَإِنِّي أَعْطَيْتُكَ لِأُمَّتِكَ أَنْ لَا أُهْلِكَهُمْ بِسَنَةٍ بِعَامَّةٍ. And I grant you for your ummah that I shall not destroy them with an all-encompassing famine or starvation. وَأَنْ لَا أُسَلِّطَ عَلَيْهِمْ عَدُوًا مِنْ سِوَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. And that I shall not send upon them or give authority over them an enemy from outside of their ranks that would conquer them. فَيَسْتَبِيحَ بَيْضَتَهُمْ. And do away with them entirely. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِمْ مَنْ بِأَقْطَارِهَا. Even if all of the people from all of the various places of earth were to come together for that purpose, حَتَّى يَكُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ يُهْلِكُ بَعْضًا. This will happen until a time comes when some of them fight and vanquish others in fighting in the ranks of the Muslims. وَيَسْبِي بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. And some of them take others as captives, prisoners of war. وَرَوَاهُ الْبُرْقَانِيُّ فِي صَحِيحِهِ. And it was also collected by Al-Burqani in his Sahih. And this is perhaps the only time you have ever heard of the Sahih of Al-Burqani. You've heard of Sahih Al-Bukhari, and you've heard of Sahih Muslim. Maybe you've heard of the Sahih of Abi Awana, or the Sahih of Ibn Hibban, or Ibn Khuzaymah. But I'm almost sure you've never heard of the Sahih of Al-Burqani. Al-Burqani was a 4th century scholar, late 4th century scholar, who was a student of the famous Imam in Hadith, Ad-Darqutni, barakallahu fikum. Ad-Darqutni, he has su'alat, his questions to Ad-Darqutni. He became famous through that. That's pretty much where you would hear of him in the printed world today. His questions that he asked Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni in criticism of narrators. Otherwise, he's not known and his name is not heard of too much. Except in places like this in Kitab al-Tawheed. He has a Musnad Sahih. He has a compilation of Hadith, which is based on Bukhari and Muslim. And he added additional narrations to the book. And this is from those additional narrations. But that book, to my knowledge, is not printed and not available. In his version of the Hadith, وَزَادَ وَإِنَّمَا أَخَافُ عَلَى أُمَّتِ الْأَئِمَّةَ الْمُضِلِّينَ He added an additional phrase that's from the speech of the Prophet ﷺ, and I only worry about for my ummah the imams, the religious leaders who are astray, leading others astray, misguiding religious leaders. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّيْفُ لَمْ يُرْفَعْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ And once the sword comes down upon them, that means between them and in their ranks, among from some of them aimed at others, then it shall not be raised up or removed until the day of judgment. Infighting will go on amongst the Muslims. وَلَا تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ حَتَّى يَلْحَقَ حَيٌّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ وَحَتَّى تَعْبُدَ فِئَامٌ مِنْ أُمَّتِي الْأَوْثَانِ And the hour shall not be established until a tribe of my ummah joins up with the polytheists, nor until a number of my ummah worships idols. That's as explicit as you can be. The Prophet ﷺ said, some of this ummah will worship idols. Not only some, but fi'amun. What's a fi'am? A large number. Not the majority, but a large number. A large group of my ummah shall worship idols. Wallahu al-musta'an. Remember the word ummah, my ummah, has two applications. And so, before they worshipped idols, before they were led astray into that level of misguidance, they may have had their ascription to Islam been valid, and they may have been the ummah istijaba, the ummah of those who respond and, you know, practice Islam. But once they are people who worship idols, they're outside of that ummah. They are not from the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with idol worship. Rather, they are polytheists. So how are they from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How are they from the ummah of Muhammad and they're worshipping idols? The broader usage of the word ummah means ummatu ad-da'wah. Everyone who's required to respond to this messenger, Jew, Christian, Muslim, atheist, everybody from his time into the last day is from his ummah. In that broader usage of the word ummah, you see here clearly in this phrase, hatta ta'buda fi'amun min ummati al-awthan, until large numbers of my ummah worship idols. Now, so then that helps you understand that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is an exclusive group, a smaller group, those who follow his teachings and apply Islam, the Muslims, and it is a larger group, it is all of humanity from his time until the last day. They are the ummah of Muhammad. They're not the ummah of Musa or Isa or Ibrahim. They're the ummah of Muhammad. They're required to find out about his teachings and apply them. وَإِنَّهُ سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي كَذَّابُونَ ثَلَاثُونَ And there shall come in my ummah 30 liars. كُلُّهُمْ يَزْعُمُ أَنَّهُ نَبِي Each and every one of them claiming that he is a Nabi, a prophet. وَأَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ Whilst I am the seal of the prophets, لا نبي بعدي, there is no prophet after me. ولا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورة, and there shall certainly remain a group from my ummah على الحق, remaining upon the truth, منصورة, given victory and support. لا يضرهم من خذلهم, those who forsake them shall not harm them. حتى يأتي أمر الله تبارك وتعالى. until the affair of Allah, the Most High, arrives. That's the chapter. These are the narrations, three verses and two hadiths. The second hadith having two wordings. So if you wish, three prophetic texts. We've read the first four issues. And now we'll look at Al-Khamisa, the fifth issue. قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّ الْكُفَّارَ الَّذِينَ يَعْرِفُونَ كُفْرَهُمْ أَهْدَى سَبِيلًا مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Their statement that those disbelievers that know about their disbelief, they are more guided than the believers. Where is this taken from as it relates to the verses or the narrations of our chapter? Who are they, first of all? قَوْلُهُمْ, their statement. The Jews of Medina, Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh Sadiq. The Jews of Medina are the ones who claimed that the polytheists of Mecca were more guided than the Muslims in Al-Medina. Why did they say that? Desires, jealousy, rancor, hatred for the truth and its people, jealousy that it's not from their ranks, and so on. Otherwise, they have more reason to say, we are closer to the Muslims, and we have more in common grounds with them than we do with polytheists that we don't share lineage with, or revelation, or any connection to a religion with, subhanAllah. How would they say this? They would say, because they know they're on polytheism. They know the meaning of La ilaha illallah. They've rejected it. They're clear on what they're on. But the Muslims are misguided. So they said, because they know what they're on and they're clear about what they're on, then they're more guided than the believers. The scholars, they say, this is believing in al-jibt wa ta'ud. This is the meaning of believing in the jibt and the ta'ud. Believing in idols. Not that the Jews of Medina worshipped the aliha, the deities of Mecca, but they supported the people of Mecca over the believers. They favored them religiously, and they supported them out of that favoring, because they favored them. They wanted them to be uppermost in Mecca. They wanted them to have the upper hand in the Arabian Peninsula over Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Muslims. While they weren't actual idol worshippers, they were mu'minuna bil jibti wa taghut. They were believers in the idols and the ta'ud, because they would support the people of Mecca, praise them for their religion, and say about them good words that they're guided, more guided than the believers in Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wallahu al-musta'an. As-sadisa, the sixth point of benefit, wa hiya al-maqsoodu bit-tarjumah. And this sixth one is the goal of the chapter title and how it was worded. Anna hadha la budda an yujada fi hadhihi al-ummah. That this idol worship is a must from the qadr of Allah, that it's going to take place in the ranks of this ummah. Kama taqarrara fi hadithi Abi Sa'id, as has been established in the hadith of Abu Sa'id. Where is it established that there is certainly going to be idol worship in the hadith of Abu Sa'id? From the generality of, we are certainly going to follow their way, even to the hole of a lizard. Okay, add to that what's in the hadith of Thawban, which is even more clear. What's in the hadith of Thawban? Portion of my ummah will meet up with the mushrikeen, and a large group will worship idols. So this is the point of the chapter again. It is a real concern, a real fear, polytheism. You must learn about it. You must be warned of it. You must teach against it. You must teach your family about it. You must learn about Tawheed and all of its sub-chapters and all of its relevant issues, so that you can learn about shirk, polytheism, and all of its sub-issues and all of the branches that come off of it, so that you can be warned about all of it and stay away from all of it, because it is certainly going to take place in this ummah. So the fear of shirk, of polytheism, is a real fear. It was a fear of Ibrahim. It was a fear of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's not to be the case that we say we're Muslims and we know Tawheed and everything is fine, and Muslims only worship Allah and they don't make shirk. You go to the Muslims and you go in the ranks of the common people and you say, what is the meaning of Tawheed? And they say, ibadatullah. It's worshiping Allah. Like sujood, like salat, five salat a day. That's Tawheed right there. And they can't bring the proper definition of Tawheed. Tawheed is an announcement, a declaration of distance and denouncing of something. What are you denouncing when you're saying you're a person of Tawheed? What are you denouncing? From everything worshipped besides Allah. I denounce it all. Nothing deserves worship. La ilaha. There is no thing, no person, no angel, no prophet, nothing that deserves any kind of worship. No salat, no siyam, no tawakkul, no raja, no khawf, no love, no fear, no love of worship and so on. No one deserves any form of worship. And then you just make one exception. Out of all things that are worshipped, you exempt Allah Rabbil Alameen, the only one who deserves worship, based on His rububiyyah, that He's the Lord, Creator, Provider, Bringer of life and death for all things. You bring Him as an exception in your statement of La ilaha illallah, except for Allah. You ask the common people, what's the meaning of Tawheed? And this meaning is too complex for them to remember or to explain. You ask them, okay, then if we are Muslims and none of us make shirk, what's the definition of shirk? What's the definition of polytheism that we're all so safe from? And they say, it's ibadatul awthan. It's idol worship. A lot of those people that go to idols and they bow down to them. And they restrict shirk to one simple, surface level manifestation of shirk. And this is what so many common people believe. That's the definition of tawheed, ibadatullah, the worship of Allah. And the definition of shirk is worshipping idols. Ah, but where's the, what about magic? What about horoscopes? What about hope and fear and your dua being to Allah Ta'ala alone and so on? What about all of the shirk that the people actually fall into, but they wish to say, we're Muslims, we don't make shirk? That's the whole point of the chapter today. The whole point of the chapter is to wake the Muslims up, the ones who would like to just blanketly say, we are Muslims, people of Tawheed, we don't make shirk. What's all this excessive talk about shirk and Tawheed and studying it? What class is this now? Number 64. In Kitab al-Tawheed, this is our 64th class in this book, Kitab al-Tawheed. We're not even halfway finished with the book. Alhamdulillah. People would say, what kind of ghulu? What kind of excessiveness is this? That you people will sit on one book for 100 lessons? Too much focus on a topic that's too clear. Yet ask them about the chapters of Kitab al-Tawheed and how the issues of worship are to be for Allah Ta'ala one by one. Ask them about those matters. Ask them about saying, I swear on my mother's grave, what is this? Ask them if they know the ruling on this. Ask them if they know, what about going to a soothsayer? What about going to a fortune teller just to see what he or she has to say? You find them saying, it's not a big thing, as long as you don't believe them. Yet our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned us about it as an issue of tawheed and shirk. And he said, the one that goes to a fortune teller, the salah is not accepted from him for a period of 40 days. As we'll get to, insha'Allah ta'ala, in the future chapters. So the whole point of the chapter then is that you cannot believe that shirk is a done deal. It's something that in the past people used to be led into. And that today we're too intelligent, we're too ready for it, we're too knowledgeable for it. No. Because you go into some places, you go into some villages where the Sufis and the deviants have spread their call, and you find them saying what? Whenever there's a disaster and you need relief, where do you go? Go to the graves. That's where the answer is. Go to the graveyard and call, Ya Badawi, Ya Fulan. You name the people who are in the graves. These are great awliya, great saints that are close to Allah. You call on them and they will ask Allah for refuge or for protection for you from these calamities and disasters that you face. And the shaitan tricks them. The shaitan tricks them because it's true that their lands get invaded by non-Muslim invaders. And they go to the graveyards and they raise their hands making dua at the graveyards. And the people see them doing that. They don't take up arms to defend their lands. They just say they're pious, they're mystics, they're Sufis. They're going to go to the graveyard and seek safety there. The people own the land now. There's no need to fight them. We've got you in the graveyard praying to the dead. There's no success coming from Allah for you people. There's no aid and no relief coming from Allah. Because you're all calling on the dead and the people in the graves. So then the people will leave them alone. And then the shaitan will convince them that we were saved. We are alive today because the people in the grave have saved us. They have called upon Allah for us. We asked them to aid us and to assist us with Allah, and they did. Look how the shaitan tricks them. Allahu al-musta'an. Now the dua must be to Allah Ta'ala alone. وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever commits polytheism with Allah, then paradise is forbidden for him. Yeah, so whoever calls upon someone in the grave, whoever calls upon a saint, paradise is forbidden from him. Just as we mentioned, even if you call upon the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, paradise is forbidden from you. You will not get the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you claim to seek. Rather, you will be denied that intercession because you are not a person of tawheed. You are a person who calls upon other than Allah. So we call upon no one but Allah, la nabi, no prophet, wa la malak, and no angel, no prophet of the highest order, and no angel of the highest order. But we call upon Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala, alone. As-sabi'ah, the seventh point of benefit from the chapter, is at-tasrihu biwuku'iha a'ni ibadat al-awthan fi hadhihi al-ummah fi jumu'in kathira. The explicit mention of it actually happening, and I mean by that, the worship of idols amongst the followers of this ummah in large numbers. I think the angle for that is very clear. So we'll leave the 8th to 14th issues for our next meeting, insha'Allah ta'ala, asking Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that He grant us safety and good health, and that He aid us and support us in our practice of Islam, strengthen our character, purify our hearts, and guide us to the best of statements and actions. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If there's a quick correction to an error made or a question or comment on the topic, we'll take it at this time before we establish our salah, inshaAllah. The chapter that talks about idol worship, is it like the idol worship that Hindus do? I don't know if we have in the ranks of those who ascribe to Islam, those who actually prop up an idol and worship it and anoint it with oils and do things like the Hindus do with their deities. I think that's very clear. You don't say that's the meaning of shirk. And so long as you don't do that, then you're free of any act of shirk. And people are at the graveside. So our fitna, our calamity, remember the last few chapters we studied? The focus was the graveyards, the gravesites, the fanaticism for going to graves all of the time. And we learned our texts, our prohibitions about what? About going to the graves as rituals for ritual visits and so on. We learned about the text where our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried for this ummah that his grave would be taken as an eid, as a place of ritual worship. He made dua to Allah ta'ala to be protected from that. He warned his ummah. He said, the curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. They set up places of worship over the graves of their prophets and so on. We learned that the very worst of all people are the people who take the graves of their prophets as masajid, as places of worship. So we learned that for this ummah, the most specific fear, that which has actually happened, is the fanaticism with the grave sites, is the connection, the absolute dedication, religious dedication to the grave sites. And if you've ever seen a village that has been overwhelmed by this kind of polytheism, you will see the people with an uncanny, irrational connection to the graves. You'll see them going to the graves. You'll see them flopping down on the graves. You'll see them laying face down on the graves for hours and hours. You'll see all types of nasty adherence to these graves. With people who have been affected by this kind of thing, the place we want them is the masjid, not the grave sites. We want them in the masjid. We want them hearing speech about tawheed. We want them hearing reminders. This is the goal of the Muslims who are upon the truth, is that they make that truth available and they make the place where the truth is disseminated from a pure place where truth is not mixed with falsehood. Agendas, political agendas and so on, are not mixed with the call to the worship of Allah Ta'ala alone. And nothing is mixed with that call. That kind of place, if you have a place like that, then ihris alayhi and be vigilant about it. Make sure that you bring people to that place when you see them confused, when you see them upon deviant methodologies. Bring them to that place and say, listen to the good speech that's going on here. Wa salli Allahumma wa sallim wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.